podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Hello and welcome to this another edition of Saturday Draft Live here at Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. I'm Stephen Wilson and we are now firmly into Season 17 of our Fantasy Draft. Joining me this week, we have Mr. Transfer Window himself. It is Jack Graham. Jack, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing well, thank you. It's not been the start that the fans and myself would expect when it comes to the transfer window. Usually, you know, I'm always already up the top. I'm already 0.7 away. But I would say, before I get into a bit later, it's very tight already, this window, when we consider the amount of players that are in this season.
Oh, yeah. It's we often say internally, never judge a week after Monday Night Raw. But there was one point at Raw where all the people at the bottom started to crawl their way back up, other than a couple of them. But by the end of the week, I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to say it so early on, but yeah. And then later on in the week, kind of the gaps were appearing again. But yeah, it's been an interesting start. We've still got a couple of pay-per-views to go before the transfer window. But in terms of scoring this week, I don't think I've ever actually had the chance to say this. We had 6 wrestlers / tag teams on 7 points, man, which made up our top 3 / top 6, all finishing on 7 this week. We had Tony Storm, Dominic Mysterio, Carmelo Hayes, Jade Cargo, and all 3 members of Imperium, the tag team element of it, Vinci and Bartel, and Gunter. Mental week that, Jack.
Aye. Mental week. One person that will be lapping his hands up with that is David Hockney. He's got Gunther as his captain and Jade Cargo was his second pick. So it's considering that Gunther has been MIA for most of the season, he's came in and he started making a real pass already, grabbing the points up for Dave. He obviously was the lowest round one pick in its entirety, but then after one episode of Raw, he's already overtaken Moxley and Claudio, who's got 9 points this season, and obviously Dave's got the captaincy applied in Gunther season 14. So it's a great week for Dave overall. And then obviously Jade Cargo as well is still the women's champion. He's been booked in for a match, Double or Nothing. Potentially, how long does she have that title for? We don't know. Everyone's kind of waiting for her to drop it, but she never seems to drop it. So potentially more points for that coming away. So it's been a good week for Dave's top 2 picks, I'd say.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. Gunther and Imperium were everywhere on Raw, literally everywhere. They were involved in the number one contenders battle royal stuff. They were backstage. They got involved with the Bloodline side of things as well. How that's going to lead going forward, I don't know. But yeah, that was pretty much Dave would have been laughing his way to the bank, and so would have Gary. Gary having Imperium as his tag team, yeah. which would have helped him. We've obviously mentioned in the past, if your tag team does well, it tends to stage in good fashion as well. But a couple of surprising more ones in there, Carmelo Hayes and Tony Storm. Not ones I would have thought would have been very highly, but particularly Tony Storm.
The Tony Storm's a weird one. I think I kind of remember when picked so highly, it was... Not that the pick was laughed at for Tom, but we were kind of a bit, I got to the third round, but Tony Storm was picked and we were a bit like, is there maybe anyone else you could have picked? But, you know, she's now got 10 points overall for the season for Tom. I think she's 32nd overall in the rankings for how the points go. She's got a title match against Jamie Hayter at Double or Nothing. It's actually Tom's second highest pick, Tony Storm, now on 10 points on his captain, Sol Sikoa on 42 is leading the charge for him. So the rest of his team maybe not doing as well as he'd hoped, but maybe Tony Storm maybe giving a wee breath of life yet.
Yeah, I think if you look at the kind of breakdowns by everybody's team, there's several people, myself included, who are heavily reliant on one player, you know. Aye. And so, but it'd be, there's a couple of ones, the likes of Tom and the Goat, who have a couple of nice steady ones going on consistently with Tony Storm, and the Goat has acclaimed. And Camelo Hayes for Ryan is a similar situation as well. So that's kind of how we're seeing this kind of table going, the bits and bobs on it. But it's very interesting how the table is stacking up, and we'll go into that just now with our top 14 this particular season. We did mention them on 41 points propping up the bottom. It's I hope I don't blow like Shane McMahon's knee with Andy Mitchell. Sorry, Andy, you may have jinxed yourself a wee bit with that particular name. However, he is only now 6 points behind Grant McRobbie. I say only 6 points. He lost 4 points on him over the course of the week. The Great O'Can Appreciation Society on 47. He may have had the best week out of everybody in the league, but David Hockney is still near the bottom of the table, just creeping up with the West End Country Club at 58 points, although he's now only 1 point behind Ross McLeod with Almost Sexual Chocolate. Not a great week for the McLeod brothers, only scoring 13 points each. Not too good for them. I had a good week myself, but I'm still quite low down with Ross Wilson as underappreciated. Maybe my team name did jinx me for this season on 62 points. Scott is now 2 points ahead of me with Dorothy Mantooth, as I say, on 64. We've got the Dutch government officials on 70 points with Tom Brock. And then I think from this point up is where the table looks quite tight at the moment. We've got Ross Brady on 74 points with the big Ross man. Quite poetic, three people on 75 points. We have last season's Ayrshire Fannies tag team, yourself, Jack, with the three-times Kings of Drafting, the Lean Mean Tangerine Machine and Ryan Dalglish, and joining yous is Team Goat on 75 points. You can't shake that Dalglish itch off your back.
Everywhere I go, he's always there. It's my shadow and me.
He's going to just show up out of that cupboard behind you, what, just randomly.
I hope not.
Oh, that'd be fucking hilarious if that happened. Third place, we have Chris Lopez with 79 points, Heartbreaker FC. And our tight top two currently at the moment, Matt Smith, 83 points with the Booty O's. And just ahead of him, Gary Kernahan with Team Viscera on 85. Jack, during the week, David Campbell put out a message to the group, but directed probably at us on next Saturday Draft Live, saying that we should apologise to Matt Smith for how we wrote him off very early on.
I think it was everyone's kind of pick to get the wooden spoon was Matt Smith. Obviously, he did manage to get Zayden Owens as his team, but when he was picking the likes of Bad Bunny and Trish Stratus, bottom two, purely for the party, purely to entertain the masses in the group, everyone was a bit, he's kind of thrown this. He's here to have a good time, and that's about it. But when you look at it, Zayden Owens have 41 points. There's six overall for the season. He's got Raquel Rodriguez, who, we'll discuss in a bit, is no longer the women's tag team champions, but she's got 17 points and 15th overall. MJF in 9 points, who might get a defence soon at 33. Roman Reigns, 4 points. I mean, that's still not a great Universal Champion, but still, you know, as I say, it wasn't picked last season. How many points will he get this season? We'll find out. Trish Stratus in 2 points and Bad Bunny in 10. And it's got him to second overall at this point of the season, where we're not in the infancy anymore. We are firmly in the goings of how this season will shape up, and he's sitting second place. How long we can make that last, I don't know, but I think we certainly need to give Matt Smith an apology for the wooden spin prediction.
I think a lot of the factors have changed since we obviously did that analysis, and when the teams were picked, we kind of thought the Trish Stratus Becky Lynch feud would have maybe been kind of, the match may have been held off till the end of the season, so he might have struggled for points there, but Trish Stratus has been on TV, and there is going to be a match at Night of Champions.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns is now going to be on the Money in the Bank card. We didn't think he was going to be on the Money in the Bank card when they were picking teams, so he's probably going to be on 3 pay-per-views. He might not win. He's probably not going to win the Night of Champions one, but we don't really know what's going on. He is appearing more regularly than he had been, you know, kind of the obviously the first few weeks of the season, MJF should win that. Is pretty much a shoo-in, I think, to win the Fatal 4-Way 4 Pillars match at Double or Nothing. And the only unfortunate thing, I think, is the Raquel having to vacate the title because she was doing well. But yeah, I don't think he's going to do as bad. And obviously he can get rid of Bad Bunny in the transfer window now. Bad Bunny's done the business. Bad Bunny's done what he had to do. I mean, he could have went bold and put the captaincy on Bad Bunny to start with and then just took it off him after Backlash. But that's a clear strategy of a Listeners League player who's not been in the league very much, not really just going with the strong first-round picks. Speaking of the Listeners League, Jack, we talk about how our league's tight. The Listeners League's been a fascinating start.
Aye, by fucking Christ, is it mad. From Mike Angus is with the Mad Dogs in 89 points. He's tied with Elliot Cantor, cost a fortune, 89 points. Dan Axel Jameson, won the league and he's been up in the main league before. The Black Bitch, greater than the Black Belt, at 91 points. Tied with Gary Morris with Ray Are the People. Then you've got Simon, remember me this, Mike Nunn, the Sports Entertainers, and Robert Shaw, the Monday Night Shaw, all on 93 points. Then you've got Alan Laurie with Lana Oakey as a walker at 96 points. And Lachlan Hyatt, Kilmarnock Kiss, on 98 points. It's fucking mental. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 folk all within 9 points. You can argue it's 10 all within 13 if you include Martin Best, so Let's Make Progress. I've not seen the Listeners League so tight ever. One person that's made a huge claim to get in with that kind of bracket of the 9 point gap is none other than Elliot Cantor. He has managed to get himself 28 points this week. And if we quickly take a look at his team, if my computer decides to load up, as it's taking a bloody age to actually get to do this thing, I think that's us sorted. Jay, he's got Rhea Ripley, 47 points. Becky Lynch in 3 points. MJF in 9 points. Imperium in 8 points. Adam Cole in 9 points. And Darby Allin in 13. Obviously, Rhea Ripley is captain helping him out. Imperium, 7 points. That's a huge kind of bump into that. Adam Cole appearing on Dynamite. Darby Allin getting a win in Dynamite. MJF appearing in Dynamite. Becky Lynch appearing. This has been a very successful week for Elliot Cantor. Can he keep up that continuous climb? We'll need to wait and see. Obviously, Adam Cole's got his match announced against Chris Jericho, Double or Nothing. I think it's an unsanctioned match or something like that. I can't quite remember. But yeah, the Listeners League is certainly very, very tight. Obviously, our leader, Lachlan Hyatt, we went over his team last week. He got 21 points this week along with Gary Morris. One person that also did very well, our second highest, was Paddy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He's unfortunately not as high up compared to the others. He's in 80 points. But I mean, that's still mid-table when it's 18 points. So maybe he has to get 25 on Mike Angus. So yes, it's been a very fruitful week for the Listeners League, Stephen. Obviously, you will be able to hear more of the Listeners League on ESSR Central, where they kind of go into this table as well to see how it all works, and they'll take kind of wee standouts and see how it's going. But yeah, it's certainly been quite an interesting time in the Listeners League so far.
I think we've rightfully written it off at a peril before with AEW picks. A lot of our guys say it kind of stings us at points and times with some wins. A point example for me, Darby Allin last year absolutely stung me to hell, purely because Tony Khan loves a bit of hot potato wing. But there's a lot of AEW picks this season, probably something we'll touch upon over the coming weeks, obviously with Double or Nothing coming up, that are doing some decent numbers in the background. We talked about like Adam Cole there, Darby Allin, the acclaimed Orange Cassidy. You know, there is some consistent picks in there right now. The issue currently is finding them. Obviously, the victim of that is Scott McLeod with Will Hobbs this year. But
it's an unfortunate one. An unfortunate one for Scott.
That's what he gets for delving into QTV. That absolute shambles of a segment. But moving away from that, obviously, maybe something that Ryan and Dave will talk about next week ahead of the big weekend of pay-per-views we're going to have then. But one fact that we briefly touched upon, Jack, earlier on the show, we were talking about Matt Smith's team was Raquel Rodriguez. I got her old name now. And the vacation of the Women's Tag Team Championships, which also affects you, having Liv Morgan as your top female pick. An absolute kick in the balls, that one. But something, it's added into something that's always been a factor in this draft since we started it. It's always been an absolute difficulty. And it's when you come to the female picks of it. Because you tend to find that a lot of us will sometimes have a really good first female pick, usually ones we try to get picked in round one, maybe later on, early on in round two. But we're again seeing that when it comes to our second female picks, it's not quite happening for us. In particular, you sometimes see one that's really strong, but at the moment, we're not currently getting that luck across the board, across any of the teams right now.
Yeah, it's a weird one, obviously. If we take a look at the highest performing women's picks, it's no surprise that it's Rhea Ripley, the SmackDown Women's Champion on Raw, and Bianca Belair on 19 points, with the Raw Women's Champion on SmackDown. Obviously, they are featured so much in WWE programming right now. But in that comparison, you're talking about, obviously, Scott has Rhea Ripley. His next women's pick was his last round pick, is Candice LeRae on 2 points, which is quite the comparative difference. And then same again with it's Ryan has Bianca Belair, obviously 37 points. Also, these are Bianca and Rhea are the respective captains for Scott and Ryan. Mm-hmm. But Ryan's second pick for his female pick was his last pick as well, Chelsea Green, 4 points. So that's quite the difference as well. Is there a case of, obviously, the gender split has to be in place, but is folks' strategy wrong of just trying to pad it out?
Potentially, I think that could be a case, because we tend to do see a lot. I think the best person I've ever seen of not padding out the female picks is the GOAT, David Gamble. He's always had a good history of top-heavy in his female picks, and at times it has, you know, helped him quite well, but I think a lot of people tend to go with the strategy. I'm quite a big culprit of it. I've gone with the strategy of going with trying to get a female pick round one, one, two. Often I try to go, if I'm low down, I always go round one. Then waiting till maybe round five for my female pick. But either way, it's not happening for me. I went with Io Sky early on, and she's currently only on 4. Could it have a bit of more fruition to it later on? Potentially. But then I've got Ronda Rousey on 1 at the bottom. Now, granted,
that could all change next week.
That could change in a week's time. That was kind of my thought strategy of it. But you've got the likes of, I hate to kind of, you know, victimise him a wee bit, but you've got Andy, whose top female pick, Shayna Baszler, on 1 point. Again, that could change. But then you've got Fina, the second round one, on absolutely not, with no current sign that she's going to get anything more than not in the current weeks. You know, so there's the likes of that, but there's a lot of people who have got both their picks currently on single digits. You'd at least hope to have had one of your female picks at this point going on to double.
Yeah, like, I think we're talking about, like, the big comparative as well. If we look at Grant's got Dakota Kai and Soraya, both on 8 points. Obviously, Dakota Kai is unfortunately injured, but even with that kind of low number pick there, it's still kind of an even spread to see, which is what you kind of what you want when we've been talking about how the one woman's been like catapulted across another. Ross Brady has 3 female picks this year. He's got Becky Lynch in 3 points, Ruby Soho in 7, and Britt Baker in 4. And considering his position in the table, you'd be surprised. It's kind of surprising to see that half his team are on single picks of the kind of the gender split. Field, so the Braun Strowman's got 3 points, Damian Priest on 11, and Nurse's on 46, so he's certainly got a one horse team kind of dragging him along there. But then, like, some folk as well, Chris Lopez, nearly called Chris Lopez, Chris Jericho, probably Chris Jericho on his team. He got Gore Jade in 7 points and Tiffany Stratton in 7 points, so he's got a good balance there, but you want him to make a bit of more impact. oh, not that I'm tooting my own horn or anything, but I won't be on this anymore. But Liv Morgan was my second round pick, got 11 points. Zelina Vega, they got 10. So they're both in double figures, but I've now got the crux of Liv Morgan's not going to get any more points for a while. And who knows how often Zelina Vega is going to fit. So it was a good short-term strategy for that. But the certainly, you know, maybe the next kind of person closest actually is Ross, Indy Hartwell, 11 points, and Maxime Dupree in 7. That'll shape up quite nicely for him.
I think so, yeah.
Later throughout the season. But aye, we've got, it's an interesting one. I think there's a lot of, as I said before, a lot of strategy has to play into getting your gender split right. And arguably this season, probably because the amount of folk that are in it, a few have got it wrong.
Do you also think potentially as well that people, we may be a victim of the fact that on both the big promotions, there's the representation currently of the female divisions is not great. Because if you actually look at it, the highest scoring, I've had a wee delve into while you're talking now, the highest scoring female pick that hadn't been drafted was Zoe Stark on 7 points. So if you look at it that way, do you think we are potentially maybe a victim of the inconsistency on the
booking? Yeah,
the booking.
I say every chant as well. That makes a lot more sense. But you want right what we said at the start. You want all your picks to roughly be kind of getting a steady amount of points at the same time, kind of climbing together. And a lot of the players in this season don't have that with their female picks in question, and it could potentially be their downfall. Someone that isn't that, it could be seen much in the same vein as Ross, as David Campbell. He's got Bailey in 9 points and Julia Hart in 6. So that will slowly start to creep up. But I mean, your likes are Andy Mitchell, you know, might be your friend after Monday night if Ronda and Shayna win the belts. They'll get more than 1 point there. But Athena's going to be in zero for that whole time, so the transfer out. So Zoe Stark's potentially a good one to get the transfer window if we need to keep a kind of a track of that as well, because the women's transfers, looking at that, as you said, that could, even if they're not represented as well on TV, you can still take someone and transfer out, and that could potentially shape a season for you.
Yeah, there's very, I think long term, as you mentioned, there's some very big implications of it. I mean, I think Chris Lopez has got some potential, big potential coming forward. The only person I think could really stop him really on the NXT front is Gary with Roxanne Perez. You know, and he's also got Jamie Hayter. So there is Dave's got the potential chance for Asuka as well. How likely Asuka win that championship? You know, I don't know.
Who knows?
She's against the female John Cena currently, so who knows what's going to go with that. There's likes of the GJ Dolan pick for Tom. You know, is that, how long will that feud go on? Will she win the feud with JCJ? You know, that's another potential one. So I think, I mean, at current point, the strategies don't look like to be working, but I feel like potentially if we were to revisit this one maybe after Money in the Bank, it could be a lot of differences. Yeah. But I think it's going to change dramatically on that one, because there is a lot of points getters in there. But when you get, I think there's a point you got to say, like, what else can you do? Especially as you mentioned, when there's 14 people drafting, there's only so much available.
It's tough, which is why I think the likes of Ross taking Maxime Dupree is class, because even if she's not wrestling, she's involved in a big program right now at Alpha Academy. And obviously Ryan would have been hoping Maximum Male Models would have been involved in that, but he's only got 1 point for them, whereas Maxine Dupree's got 7. And then David Campbell kind of getting the best of both of Julia Hart, who's a manager and a wrestler in that vein, so it's getting the points there too. So that's playing a big part in that. But yes, it's very, very tough. I'm just raging that Liv Morgan's got injured now. Is that both my women's picks are doing well for my team, which is unfortunate.
Liv was a nice steady pick. I couldn't remember at one point who'd picked Liv, and I kept seeing them defending titles. It's the same way when I keep seeing the Rampage graphic, and Acclaim's always on the Acclaim, they're on the Rampage graphic every week, and you're like, aye, come on. And they're against teams, it's not like they're against anybody that's any good. You know, let's be brutally honest. The Varsity Athletes. Come to hell. I mean, when a House of Black gonna actually show up, they just beat the bloody crap out. No offense to the Acclaimed, but I'm sick fed up of waking up on a Saturday morning with David Cloten about his Acclaimed points. But yeah, that's I'm interested to see how everything goes. As I mentioned, it is a long, long season. We've still got up till SummerSlam to go, 2.5 months at least of the season to go, and it could take twists and turns at any particular point. Especially next week, you know, when we've got a free pay-per-view weekend, which will be interesting, and I'm sure Dave and Ryan next week will go through that in impeccable detail.
We'll wait and see.
We will wait and see. But we'll wait and see, don't we? But yeah, that's coming up next week on Saturday Draft Live. That pretty much wraps up everything we want to talk about on this particular show this week. I'd like to thank Jack, as always, for joining me on this lovely Saturday morning.
Cheers, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, if you want to catch everything that we do here on Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet, be it the show every week or ESSR Central or our various feature shows, hit the subscribe button on the podcast platform that you are on, and please also follow us on all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Suplex Retweet, and that's how you can get in touch with us if you want to join up with the Listeners League for seasons going forward. Have a lovely weekend, everybody, and we will see you next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.